Welcome, Cleaning Nation. I am so excited to hang out with all of you fine people today. As always, if you want to take it to the next level and hang out with me and a few of your fellow owners close up and personal, right now go to growmycleaningcompany.com/live so you can get details on our upcoming live event where we are going to implement the entire Clean Profit Method together. Today, we are chatting with Julian Chalke from Effective Cleaning Services. They've been in business for just about a year, serving the southwest region of Ireland with commercial and residential cleaning services. If you want to reach out to Julian and his team, you can get a hold of them at www.effectivecleaningservices.ie. Julian, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you, man. So I got to tell you, I think you may be our first Irish or guest from Ireland, but your accent doesn't sound Irish. Are you from Ireland? Are you just in Ireland? Talk to me.
No, I live in Ireland, but I'm from South Africa.
Okay.
I'm from Pretoria.
And how long have you been in Ireland? So, what made you make the move?
No, I have been in Ireland for about 3 years now. And I kind of made a move coincidence. I was not thinking about leaving South Africa, but I was doing business then in South Africa, but a different kind of business. I was in a security business. So I just wanted a change of something. And then I said, okay, I want to do another business, but you're in South Africa, but I want to travel around the world for a while. And then I came over to Europe. I traveled around. I traveled in Ireland. I went on a very famous Irish touristic region on the southwest, which is called the Wild Atlantic Way. It's very popular, especially with tourists, especially with American tourists. And I loved Ireland, and I decided to stay.
So do people in Ireland think your accent is awesome, or they don't like it, or how do they respond to the way you speak?
I think that Ireland right now is coming a bit, there is a bit more of diversity, and because the economy in Ireland has boosted a lot, so there are people from everywhere, Croatia, Czech Republic, Poland, people coming from Asia, from everywhere. So at the moment, you are not dealing with native Irish only, like you're dealing with a lot of people. And then on the other way, Irish people are extremely friendly people. So they really don't have a problem as long as they can hear me.
Okay, fantastic. And speaking of hearing you, Cleaning Nation, I know that Julian's connection is not fantastic, but we've got a couple options with, I think we're in over 90 countries now. We can either not do international shows and have better sound quality, or have sometimes not the best sound quality with the guests, but be able to talk to people from all over the world. So I apologize in advance. Julian's connection is not the greatest, but we are talking, I think, halfway across the world, just about. So we're doing the best that we can. So I just want to thank you for hanging in. All right, that said, Julian, what's going on in your world today that I can give you some help with?
Yeah, at the moment, like on the side of the business, like getting the clients, getting the jobs, things have really been moving very fast. Everything is going well, but it's the issue is on the side of the staff, on the employees. Like keeping cleaners, it's really something which is very difficult at the moment, because it was a bit easier when we started because the economy was just improving then. But now it's really quite very good. There seems to be jobs everywhere, and then people are just using like getting into cleaning as a stepping stone. And even those who have been cleaners for a long time, maybe they may want to go on and try something better. And then so they are using cleaning as a stepping stone. So they usually, you are with a cleaner, you train a cleaner, it takes time to train the person. And then after a few months, then the person is leaving, and because the person got something better. So there's really nothing you can do at that moment. You can't say don't go. They've made up their mind. So that is the problem.
All right. So what I hear you saying is, how do you maintain a good staff when you've got your work base cleaners are really looking at this job as a stepping stone to another job?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Typically, what sorts of jobs are they leaving for?
If you most of the jobs here are kind of like customer service jobs, like call center jobs, like you know, cleaning is physical because we do what we call deep cleaning here, like spring cleaning. So it's an extensive top to bottom kind of cleaning. So because it's quite physical, so people are usually leaving for customer service jobs where they are sitting and then they're just calling customers on the phone, talking, helping them, something like that. Because you have, especially in the Southwest region, you have companies like Apple, you have companies like Eli Lilly, and these are big American companies. And they are servicing the whole of Europe because that's the headquarters of Apple in Europe is in Ireland, in the Southwest region where we are based. So it employs thousands of people there from all over Europe. So anyone who comes, because most of our cleaners come from Eastern Europe, Poland, Czech Republic, countries like Hungary. So as Apple is expanding into those countries, they take these people because of the language, so that they can be able to help customers from those countries.
All right. So a couple things. First and foremost, there's kind of two different dynamics here. One is if they're leaving for a truly better job, that's one answer. And if they're just leaving for not a better job. So a better job is if you're paying, and I don't know what the currency is over there, but we'll talk in dollars because that's what most folks understand. But if you're paying $10 an hour and they leave for a job making $17 an hour, that's a better job, right? So there's no way we're going to compete with that. If you're paying $10 an hour and they go somewhere else for $10 an hour, but the benefits are a little better, or $11 an hour, or something similar, but they're just sitting in a chair versus cleaning, that's different. I wouldn't classify that as a better job. I'd classify that as a different job that they feel they're going to prefer. Is that an okay distinction to start with?
Yeah, that's a fine description, actually, because if we look at the prices and the rates, you're going to find that they are not really earning more than what we're just in the same range with most of the jobs which they leave to do. Right. So maybe it's,
yeah. So real quick, let me respond to both, because some people are going to be dealing with both of them, and it sounds like you're predominantly they're leaving for similar jobs, but not better jobs. But let me just respond quickly to the if there is a better job. So first and foremost, if there really is a better job, I always, always, always want to help other people prepare for it. So my goal is never to keep them with me forever. It's to be an amazing opportunity for them. And if and when they springboard onto something better in their lives, I'm the first one to encourage them and say, good job. And I want to be a incubator for bigger, better things, right? I don't want people cleaning with me for 20 years, right? That would be a sad thing if they spent their whole life cleaning. So if it really is a better job, instead of fighting it, I would embrace it. I would, in my advertising, in my hiring process, I would acknowledge, hey, we have people going on to this kind of a job and that kind of a job. So I would make that part of the lure of, hey, we are going to, and if, again, you have to help, you can't just say this unless you do it, but I would try and help prepare them for those better jobs, right? I'd try and give them the skills that they need to improve their lives. So instead of saying, hey, I want you to stay here forever, which may be good for me and bad for you, I'm going to say, hey, I want to do what's good for you first, which is help you prepare for another job, which ironically is going to have them be more loyal, stay longer, and do a better job where they're with me. So that's in the instance for if there actually is a better job. Any feedback or pushback on that before we move on to what sounds like your circumstance of they're leaving for similar jobs that aren't really better?
Yeah, it's for similar jobs. Maybe they're just a different one. The cleaning one is much more maybe physical, and then the other one is much more, the intensity is different. So because if I look at the rates are roughly the same. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, I get your point, it's not like I want to keep them for years, but at least you expect to have people, let's say, for 6 months, 1 year, something like that.
Okay,
wouldn't expect to have people for a few weeks.
No, but that's a bigger problem than just they're leaving for other jobs. So if it's not a definitively better job, right? If it's a definitively better job, we want to encourage them to do that. If it's not a definitively better job, it's just a different job, I want to up my game, right? They're leaving And I've done some research. It's not, they don't leave. I think less than 22% of people leave because of pay, and like 80% leave because of a supervisor, which really means they're not happy with what they're doing day to day. So there's two pieces of this puzzle that's going to help make your life better. First and foremost, we don't want people that are settling for our job, right? If they want to go work sitting down in an office, then they should start there and not, you know what I'm saying? It's not like there's a stepping stool where to get that office call center job, they're going to say, well, hold on. Have you cleaned yet? They say no. Then they're going to say, well, go clean for 3 weeks before you'll come here, right? So I think if we are hiring people that really don't want the job and are just using it for a 2 or 3 week or a 1 month placeholder, we're not screening the people out properly. It's not like everybody wants to sit in an office. Some people would go nuts in an office and they prefer being out with other people and being able to, you know, go from house to house and do some work. And they like the exercise and getting out. So first and foremost, we don't want to hire the wrong people that don't want the job and try and convince them it's a better job or to stay. That's a fool's errand. So I would start with probably a more rigorous screening process. And in my application, in my group interview, I'd have probably everybody answer, why don't you just go get a job at a call center and let them, and if they go, oh, I've been applying for jobs at a call center, I just haven't gotten one, then that's not who I want, right? I want someone that replies like, oh, I could never be cooped up in an office all day. That would drive me crazy. I want to be out with other people and I like using my body as opposed to just sitting down, right? I don't want to get fat. I don't want to, you know, that's not healthy for me. That's what we're looking for. So first and foremost, we want to kind of sift through the folks and only let people in that are looking to be a part of what we've got to offer. Does that make sense before I give you the second piece?
Yeah, yes, it does. It does. Okay. It does make sense. I do admit that on the part of the screening, at first, it has not been rigorous enough. So there have been a lot of turnover when it comes to the employees over the time. And then the other thing now is that we will be hiring more because we're in the summer period. And during the summer period, we have seen a large volume, like more demand. So it's something maybe which we are going to start looking at, especially the screening part of it.
Yeah, and honestly, what this really comes down to is it's hard to screen when you don't have enough applicants, right? That's where we usually kind of fall for that warm body syndrome where we pick people that we shouldn't and we know we shouldn't because we got someone in front of me that I don't really think is the right person, but they said they'd come and I desperately need someone. That's typically lack of a system. So the way that we fix that, and we go over this in the Clean Profit Method, this is step 7 and 8, you want to have a system that you always have more applicants coming in automated, right? So you're not having to call them back and set appointments. You create an automated system. And again, we teach you how to do this in the Clean Profit Method. So you've got a steady stream of the right applicants coming to you. That way it's easier to screen them because there's a whole screening process. It's not you just going, what do I do with this person? I've got 100 applicants and I'm overwhelmed. And how do I deal with all these people? You've got a system that sorts and sifts and you just follow the system, which really shouldn't take you more than, you know, 3 to 5 hours per week. So that's the overreaching answer. You need to have a system that is attracting the right people that you follow, as opposed to just, we're hiring more, we're hiring less. I'm doing an ad. I'm going to call this guy back, but not that guy or any, you know, just you kind of figuring out as you go. So, all right, that said, the first bit, like we talked about, is, don't hire the people that don't want the job in the first place, right? Like I would never marry a girl that's like, meh, you're not really what I want, but you're here and you seem nice. So what the heck, right? So we don't want to hire that person like, ah, you're really not what I want, but you know, I need a paycheck between now and then. That's not who we want. So first step is don't hire the wrong people. And the way to do that is have enough good applicants that the bad applicants stand out and you don't need to get desperate and take them. The second step is once you do hire them, make sure it is a better job, right? Typically when I used to think this, when I had my construction company years ago, like, oh, there's bigger companies and they're just better and everybody wants to go for the big company. The reality is the big company was at a huge disadvantage to me. I just didn't know it. The big company, it's going to be a supervisor, not the owner. The supervisor is going to be, you know, they're making 10 bucks an hour. The supervisor might be making 12 bucks an hour. He or she has probably little or no leadership talent, doesn't care about them. He's going to be, you know, every 6 months, that person's new. So that it's just difficult because it's a big company and they're a cog in that wheel. And those companies typically are not very good at making them feel special or appreciated or cared about or building a community that they're proud to be a part of. Those are all things that we can do as small business owners pretty easily, because we care deeply about these people, and we are going to learn their names, and we do feel that they're special. So that's how I'm going to make sure that they feel like, man, I would never want to leave this community. I love working here, and I actually like coming to work every day. That's very hard to compete against. When I had my brick and mortar companies with employees, we almost never got our employees stolen because nobody could compete with what we had. Like when I had my car dealership, I was a very small car dealership compared to, you know, we had, you know, maybe 100 cars on the lot where other people might have 1,000. But we could compete because everybody wanted to be a part of what we were doing, right? So again, first and foremost, make sure you've got the right people, right? If you've got the wrong people that don't really want to be there, there's nothing we can do to help that other than stop hiring the wrong people. Second, once you are sure you've got the right people, make them feel loved and appreciated and part of a community and something that they can't get anywhere else, right? They probably had a bunch of crappy $10 an hour jobs before where nobody knew their names. It was a big company and they just kind of, you know, do your work, shut up and get paid. You can offer them like, hey, we do parties and we have events together and we care about each other. We want to actually spend time with each other in our spare time. That's how you can really compete with the big boys in a way that they can't compete with you, because they're just like, we're way too big. We need 100 call center attendees. We know we're going to have a ton of turnover. We just can't deal with them one-on-one like you can at this point. So those are probably the two pillars I would use to overcome the issue of people leaving for quote unquote a better job. Any thoughts or questions or needs before we hit the lightning round?
Yeah. At the moment, I think I really understood the points which you're putting out there, and it's some of the things which I didn't really look at, because I think because in the past I was kind, the company was growing, and I was practically doing everything myself. Mm-hmm. So I was doing everything, like I was managing everything. And then in the past few months, I have to bring in other people, and then I streamlined things a bit. And I think I can start implementing things, because there was time when it was really overwhelming, like we have clients, we have jobs which are there, and then we need people. So it was kind like the people or come for interview, we just tag them because we want the job to be done as soon as possible.
Yep. And that's very common in the cleaning business. It's so funny, having coached people literally all over the world, when it comes to a lot of the key things like attracting customers and attracting employees, it's the same problems. Everyone's like, oh, it's very difficult where I'm at to do this. It's like, yep, it's difficult in the cleaning business everywhere. That's just part of how it is. So, all right, as we transition to the lightning round, Cleaning Nation, I did want to mention the two things that I would really highly encourage. If you're listening to this and you're like, I want to take it next level, I really am committed to growing my cleaning business and I'm sick of getting the results that I've gotten. The two tools that we offer in addition to this podcast that are super amazing are the Clean Profit Method. It's a 9-step system. It's taken me 20 years to figure out and share with you guys. You can get it at growmycleaningcompany.com. And then our live events where we actually walk through that. I personally select 16 owners of cleaning companies to walk through the Clean Profit Method with. I think right now, as this podcast goes live, we've only got one left in this year, and I don't know if we're going to do any next year, so time is short. There's only 16 spots. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/live to get that done. All right, let's hit the lightning round. I'm going to be quiet for 2.5 seconds, and we're going to let Julian share some of his experience. Julian, I'm going to ask you 3 quick questions. You're going to give 3 amazing answers. Question number 1, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received, either personally or professionally?
Can you repeat again?
The best piece of advice you've ever received, either personally or professionally.
The best piece of advice I've received, actually, personally, I received an advice from one of the guys who told me that in the cleaning business, patience is very important, and at the same time, trying what works, because sometimes what works in a certain part of the world or in a certain region within the same country won't work somewhere else. For example, I did business in South Africa before, and I find although the tenets are the same, but there are some specific things which can either make or break your business, which is different. So patience and then trying is
Okay, patience and testing new things. Love it. Question number two.
Yeah.
What's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business so far so we can all learn from each other's mistakes?
Yeah, the biggest mistakes which I have made sometimes. The first time when I started was undervaluing my work. Like I was looking at making more customers, not really looking at how much I'm going to make at it. So the number of customers was what I was worried about. So undervaluing my work was the biggest mistake. And now I managed to deal with that, but it took time for people to, for the pricing to change. The people are resistant if they get used to paying something.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to handle at the beginning than at the end. And we spend a lot of time coaching around bidding and billing properly. Because if that foundation is not solid, difficult, if not impossible, to grow a profitable cleaning company. All right, Julian, last question. What's one simple, easy idea Cleaning Nation can put into practice right now to improve their lives or their business, even if just a little bit?
Yeah, the thing which happens there is to
Just something easy to implement that could improve their lives or their business, even if just a little bit, like make your bed before you leave the house, always be on time. Just something simple that people can kind of put into practice right now that you think can improve their lives and or their business.
Yeah, just tell the cleaners to arrive maybe at whatever place they are working, maybe at least 15 minutes before they start doing whatever they want. Usually, the little mistakes are made, but in most cases, they are removed if people arrive much earlier because they can either see that we forgot this or we have to do this way. So it eliminates a lot of problems.
Okay, fantastic. I like that. Have the cleaner show up and be ready to work at the time they're supposed to be there, as opposed to showing up the time they're supposed to be there, not be ready to work for 10 minutes and then feel rushed and make a mistake. All right, Julian, thank you so much for joining us all the way across the world. Thank you for sharing your passion, your story, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Julian's show notes page, I think we've got a webinar that's super fantastic. You can get in for free. It's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.